It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be able to open God's Word and read from His Word. So the first one comes from, it's a well-known passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, the first five verses. And it's entitled, "The Word Became Flesh." So John 1, chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Then we turn to Hebrews, a short section in Hebrews, chapter 1, the first two verses. And there we read the following. "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven."
Well, good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year to all of you. What a joy it is to be with God's people in this new year, and I pray that you had a great New Year celebration over the past week. A while ago, I came across a video while surfing the internet. So it's a video of a wedding between a couple named Scott and Anna. And in the wedding, they decided to use the song Marry You by Bruno Mars. Now, if you know that song, you know that it is a very catchy song. And if you never heard it before, if you go YouTube it and look for it in YouTube, I wouldn't be surprised to find you singing along to that song because it is a really catchy song. And so this couple, they loved the song and they decided to use this song, seeing how the song is called Marry You. They thought it's a good fit for their wedding, so the groom did a lip sync of this song. Let me read two verses of the lyrics of this song. All right, so the lyrics of this song goes like this. "It is a beautiful night. We're looking for something dumb to do. Hey, baby, I think I want to marry you. If we wake up and you want to break up, that's cool. No, I won't blame you. It was fun, girl." Well, this song is about a guy wanting to marry a girl because he was looking for something to do, something dumb to do on a beautiful night. Well, if they wake up one day and, you know, she wants to break up, that's okay. No, not a problem. It's cool. Now, I don't know what you think. I don't think that's a very good song for a wedding. So why did this couple choose this song for their wedding? Well, I suspect the reason why they chose this song is that while they heard the song, they did not really listen to the song. They know the catchy tune, the catchy beat of the song, but they missed out on what the lyrics actually said. They heard the song, but they didn't really listen to the song. They heard, but didn't listen. Today is a brand new Sunday of a brand new year. All right, it is 2025. There's no better time than, in some sense, to orient ourselves for the rest of the year. And what better way to orient ourselves through the Word of God, by God's Word. And so today we're looking at Psalm 19. It is a psalm that talks about God's speech to us in His creation and in His Word. And in many senses, when David wrote this psalm, he's indirectly telling us that we should really listen carefully to what God is saying and what God has said in the past. God is there. He is not silent. He has spoken and he still speaks today. And so we would do well to listen to God. So we're going to look at Psalm 19. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 19. And we will look at the whole psalm. Let me invite you to stand as I read from the Word of God. Psalm chapter 19. Verses 1 to 14. For the director of music, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived from its warmth. The law of Yahweh is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of Yahweh are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of Yahweh are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of Yahweh are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of Yahweh are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Yahweh, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You may be seated. First point that we can see from this psalm in verses 1 to 6 is David is asking us to listen to God speak through his world. Listen to God speak through his world. So in the first 6 verses of this psalm, David is telling us that the heavens and the skies above, you know, referring to the entire universe, everything that we see here on earth, all of creation is declaring the glory of God and proclaiming the work of his hands. So everything that we see on earth, including the flowers, the sunset at the beach, the amazing stars at night, they are all declaring and proclaiming the glory of God. And this is not something that happened only once in the past. By verse 2, we see that it is done day after day, night after night. They pour forth speech. They reveal knowledge. So it's not a momentary thing. It is one continuous act of proclamation since the beginning of creation. Right? It did not come by random chance. God created everything, right? He has been purposefully, lovingly, wisely created by God. It is God's creation. And creation reveals parts of who he is, right? Creation pours forth speech, reveals knowledge of this God who created all things. When we create things, we leave marks of who we are on the things that we create. You know, marks of our own character in the things that we create. So let me give you an example. If you look at this piece of art, Vincent van Gogh's The Bedroom, you can tell a little bit about the artist. Right? It's only a painting of his bedroom. But he labored over the subject matter. He labored over his bedroom and the composition. And he kept it simple, but letting the colors do all the work. And as you look at this painting, as you examine it and analyze it, you sense and you feel, you know, the artist's sense of warmth and calmness about his own bedroom. You can tell a little bit about his character through this painting, about how he feels about this bedroom. Right? The creators, they leave marks of who they are in the things that they create. So in the same way, God has left his marks in creation about who he is. In Romans 1, as we saw from last year, verse 20, Apostle Paul, he says, God's invisible qualities, his divine nature and his eternal power has been clearly seen from the creation of the world. Creation showcases God's divine nature and his eternal power. Now, have you looked up into the night sky? And, you know, sometimes you think, oh, how many stars are there in the universe? Some people have said that counting stars is like trying to count the number of sand on all the seashore on Earth. And some scientists actually try to estimate the number of stars. So they try to do that. So look at this image that they took, this image of stars. So this picture is known as the Hubble Deep Field image, ultra deep field image. Basically, what they did was that they pointed the most powerful telescope that mankind ever built, and they pointed to the darkest, blackest part of the night sky. And then they waited a few days to see what the result was. This image was the result. And what you see here is the farthest reaches of the universe. And each dot, each bright light that you see there is one galaxy. And so in one galaxy, there's estimated to be about 100 billion stars in one galaxy. And they estimate there's more than 1 trillion galaxies. So if you multiply those two numbers, you get a very big number. That's a lot of stars. And those are the only stars that scientists can observe and see. It's very possible there's more stars that we haven't been able to observe. And so some scientists actually say it is very likely that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on all the seashores on Earth. That is a lot of stars in a very big universe. And God made all of that by just saying, by his word, let there be light. Let there be. And God created all things. All the stars are proclaiming, declaring the glory of God, proclaiming the work of his hands. They are displaying the power of God in creation. And what is even more amazing is that all these stars that I've just mentioned, they are proclaiming God's glory, God's eternal power to us. Not to the other planets, not to the stars, not to the animals here on Earth, to human beings who live on this tiny little blue planet revolving around a tiny sun in a moderately sized galaxy in a very big universe. God made all of those things, all of those stars in the universe, for us to let us know about his glory and his power. God is speaking to us through his creation. He is telling us about his glory and his majesty. Are you listening? And across all these stars, David picks out our sun. And he focuses our mind on it. And he gives us a wonderful picture of God setting up the universe for our sun, like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber every morning, like a champion running his course from the east to the west. That's an amazing picture of our sun. God, in his infinite wisdom, has made our sun in such a way that we can both enjoy the warmth of the sun and also the coolness of the night. Day after day, night after night, creation pours forth speech, they reveal knowledge. There's no need for words, their mere existence is enough. Their voice goes out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. The whole of creation is preaching God's glory and God's power to us. Are we listening? When we enjoy God's creation, maybe it's a trip to King's Park, a trip to the beach, enjoying the sunset, camping in the woods, looking up the night skies to the stars. Let us realize it is God's creation. When we look at nature and see how beautiful it is, let's remember the one who made it. Let us be reminded of what they are doing. They are proclaiming God's glory and the work of His hands, proclaiming who He is to us. Creation gives us opportunities to marvel at God's creativity in, you know, creating and fashioning each type of flower, and marveling at God's creativity in creating the moon and the stars, marvel at His eternal power in creating such a big universe. But above all that, it gives us an opportunity to marvel at God Himself. John Calvin, a 16th century theologian, he says this: as soon as we acknowledge God to be the supreme architect who has erected the beauteous fabric of the universe, our minds must necessarily be ravished with wonder at His infinite goodness, wisdom, and power. That's our first point. We listen to God speak through His word. And this revelation of God through our world is referred to by scholars as general revelation. It is a revelation given generally to all people here on earth to tell people about who this God is. It tells us of His power and His divine nature. And so we marvel at the beauty of what He has made. We marvel at His greatness and His majesty and His wisdom. We marvel at God Himself. But we keep reading in Psalm 19. God's speech does not stop at creation. He reveals further about who He is. And here we come to our second point. We listen to God speak through His word. Listen to God speak through His word. That's from verse 7 to 11. David moves on to talk about the word of God. Verses 7 to 9, he talks about and gives us six different ways that he talks about the same thing. So he mentions the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the precepts of Yahweh, the commands of Yahweh, the fear of Yahweh, and the decrees of Yahweh, of the Lord, of this covenantal God. And all of these are just different ways of talking about the Word of God. And so God not only told us about who He is in creation, through the universe, even better than that, God has told us more about Himself by speaking through His word. He tells us what He expects of mankind. He tells us about His faithfulness. He tells us about His love for His people. He tells us about what kind of God He is in His word. Without His word, we would not know God's heart, God's love. Through creation, we can know His greatness, we can know His power, but we can't tell if He loves us and what He expects of us. We would have been in darkness, vainly trying to find out what pleases God, what kind of God we have. But through the word that He has given us, we don't have to. He has told us everything He wants to tell us in His word. And through His word, we have a more intimate, a surer knowledge of this God and His majesty. And so David describes the Word of God as perfect, as trustworthy, radiant, pure, right, and firm. Just as how creation shows us something about who God is, God's Word is a reflection of who He is. Because God Himself is perfect, trustworthy, right, radiant, pure, and firm. Therefore, His word is also all of those things. And because God is God, and God is King over all of creation, those words that he speaks and gives to us, that's authoritative for all of us. And so one way that we honor this God is to honor his words, to listen to his words, to obey his words. We honor God by honoring his words. We listen, we believe, we obey. And notice what David continues on about God's word, right? They refresh the soul. They make simple to become wise. They give joy to the heart. They give light to the eyes. They endure forever. They are altogether righteous. God's word, God's laws are good for us. They are not a burden to us. It refreshes our soul, gives us joy. David knows that. He recognizes that. Partially because when he thinks about God's word and God's laws, what he is reminded of is God's gracious act in saving his people time and time and time again. They received God's word after they were liberated, freed from being slaves. God gave them his law, gave them his word. It signifies their relationship with God, that they are his people, that God is their God, and they are living under God's rule. And so if you notice, the first half is talking about God in general. In the second half, verse 7 to 11, he uses the word Yahweh, a covenantal God, a God who has made promises to his people. And so his word is good for us because it signifies a relationship that we have with this living God. And that's why David can say it refreshes our soul, gives joy to our hearts, because it reminds us of God's goodness. It reminds us of his grace and his redemption, of his mercy. And so this revelation of God is referred to by scholars as special revelation. Special because he reveals it to the people that he has redeemed. Special because not everyone is willingly receiving this word of God. But special is because it speaks of God's salvation of those he loves. And God's word rewards us with restoration of our souls, wisdom for our Christian walk, joy for our hearts, enlightenment for our eyes, truth that we can rely on, and really provision for righteousness. That's why we listen to God speak through his word. It tells us, it reminds us of his grace and his mercy and his goodness. And that's why the longest psalm in the Bible is Psalm 119. And guess what it is about? It is about the word of God. The entire psalm is about the word of God. We will take a closer look at that psalm next week. And that's why David says, God's word, God's statutes, they are to be desired more than gold, than any fine gold. It is sweeter than honey, than any honey that we can find. John Piper says this in one of his articles. And he says, the challenge before us is not merely to do what God says because he is God. But notice this, but to desire what God says because he is good. The challenge is not to merely pursue righteousness, but to prefer righteousness. The challenge is to get up in the morning and prayerfully meditate on the scriptures until we experience joy and peace in believing the precious and very great promises of God. It is to get our hearts in tune and actually prefer and want to read God's word. Is to desire the word of God. That is our challenge. To desire more than gold, more than any earthly things that we can find. Delighting in his word, realizing that it tastes sweeter than anything we can find here on earth. Well, in our world today, there's so much information being thrown at us. So many words being thrown at us from every corner. And so it is all the more important that we anchor ourselves in God's word. Right? Everyone and their parents, they want to start a podcast today. Every other person on TikTok seems to be giving us different life hacks, teaching us about, you know, things that we can do. You have all sorts of YouTube videos with talking heads updating us about or telling us about the latest political or celebrity scandal. Celebrities themselves, they are bombarding us with their endorsements and their merchandising through social media. Politicians are keen to get our votes through any means necessary. Everybody wants a piece of our attention today. Words everywhere, information everywhere. Some of these are educational. Some are definitely entertaining. Some might even be good journalism. But none of them are of eternal value. The only word that is worth our time and worth our full attention is God's word. God's word tells us of our deepest plight in our sins and our greatest joy in our salvation, in knowing God's love. God's word plumbs the depths of our sorrows and gives us the greatest assurance, greatest security in life. No other word in all the world can do that. Listen to God speak through His word. It refreshes our soul, gives joy to our hearts, reminds us of His grace and mercy. And we are to be reminded of this again and again. And particularly, especially for those of us who may have grown up in the church, who may have the privilege of hearing the reading and the preaching and the teaching of God's word all throughout our lives. Because you know what happens? Because we get so complacent. In those circumstances, it's so easy to hear but not really listen. So easy for us to take for granted. So easy for us to think that we know when we don't. So let me implore you, don't just hear God's word, actually listen. Listen carefully to what God is saying through His word, what God has been saying, and what God is saying. It is the start of a new year. It is a great opportunity to set your minds to get into God's word on a regular basis. If you're someone here who's never had the discipline of reading God's word daily or on a regular basis, well, it's a good time to start. But as I always mention, start small by committing maybe just to read one paragraph a day. Pick a book of the New Testament, start reading it slowly, day by day. Just to get you into the habit of reading God's word. And also, as I've always said, you don't have to do it alone. Find a friend, find a family member, do it together. You can even do it before church. Just come 10 minutes early, and I know for some people 10 minutes early seems like an eternity. You can do it. Just 10 minutes before. Grab a few chairs in a youth hall, gather together, and just read God's word out loud together, just for 5 to 10 minutes. You can do it together. We can do it together. To listen to God speak through His word. Let me encourage you to think about that and how we can encourage and help one another to do that. Right, make this year a year in which you begin to dig into God's word together. And if that's something you're already doing on a regular basis, well, you can start digging into our confessions as well. Read the Belgic Confession together. Read the Heidelberg Catechism together. Listen to God speak through His word, and listen to God speak through His word. And our final point today, point number 3, listen to God speak through the Word made flesh. Verses 12, 13, and John chapter 1. Towards the end of this psalm, David responds to what God is speaking to him through the Word and through His Word by realizing his own sinfulness and running to find refuge in God alone. And he knows that sins can only be dealt by God alone. So verses 12 and 13, David mentions his hidden faults, his willful sins, sins that he committed without knowing it, sins that he committed when he thinks he knows more than God. When faced with God's majesty in the heavens and faced with God's righteousness through His word, we cannot help but recognize our own sinfulness, our own inadequacy, and realize that we fall absolutely short of God's standard. And he knows that. What does he do? He runs and finds refuge in God. He asks God to forgive his hidden faults, keep him from his own sins, so that he can be blameless and innocent of his own transgressions. We find refuge in God. We seek refuge in God. We ask for his forgiveness. We pray and we ask God to keep us from our own sins. We ask that we will be blameless and be innocent of our transgressions. We cannot do this ourselves. Left to ourselves, we have no hope. But how does God do this? How does God help us to be blameless and forgive us? Well, he does that through Jesus, the Word that became flesh. Right, in this psalm, we see God speaking through us through the world and how the universe declares the glory of God. We see how God speaks to us through his word, the commandments and the laws he gives us, how they are good for us. And both God's word, both of them, find their ultimate purpose and design in Jesus. It points us, both of them points us to the word made flesh. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Talking about Jesus. In the Hebrews 1 passage, notice what it says about God's Word. In the past and now. Right? Notice the contrast. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets many times in various ways. Right? God did all of that. In these last days, when Jesus has come, how? God has spoken to us by his Son, in whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the universe. Notice that. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That's talking about Jesus, the second person of Trinity. Jesus, our Lord, our King, sustains the existence of this world by his powerful word. God's world, the billions and billions and billions of stars that we talked about, they gave us a glimpse of God's glory, gave us a glimpse of God's power. But Jesus gives us the most powerful and grandest picture of God's glory. In his life, in his death, in his resurrection. He is the radiance of God's glory. God's word gives us a picture of what he is like and who he is in the Old Testament. Absolutely. But Jesus gives us the clearest and greatest expression of who God is. When he was here on earth, he embodied the law and the commandments of God. He fulfilled all the laws of the Old Testament. He fulfilled them perfectly. He taught powerfully on the kingdom of God. He lived out a life that is sinless, perfectly displays and expresses the heart of God for the people of God. He is the Word of God, the perfect expression of God's character. If you want to know who God is, if you want to know how God is like, look to Jesus. It is at the cross of Jesus that we see the greatest expression of God's love and God's holiness. And so at the heart of God's world, at the heart of God's word, stands the majestic person of Jesus Christ. Both God's world and God's word find their fulfillment and their purpose in Jesus. Let me read you a quote from Herman Bavinck, a Dutch theologian. From the late 19th and early 20th century. This is what he said, but he's specifically talking about general revelation, but the point about Jesus stands. This whole revelation, general revelation, which is of God and through him, has its midpoint and at the same time its high point in the person of Christ. It is not the sparkling firmament nor the mighty nature, nor any prince or genius of the earth, nor any philosopher or artist, but the Son of Man, that is the highest revelation of God. Christ is the Word become flesh, in which in the beginning was with God, which was God, the only begotten of the Father, the image of God, the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, who has seen Him has seen the Father. If you want to know who God is, look to Jesus. If you're here today, maybe you're attending church for the first time, or maybe you have come, maybe you're just curious about the Christian faith. If you're here today, if you maybe have grown up in the church, maybe you've grown up around Christians, but just somehow never really dive deep into the Scriptures. Or maybe even if you have followed Christ for many, many years. My encouragement to all of us, all of these groups of people, is the same. I commend to you the person of Jesus Christ. Once again, it is in Jesus that we know God. In Jesus that we know His majesty, His glory, His heart, His love, His grace, His mercy. And so in Psalm 19, we see, we listen to God speak through His Word. And we look out into the world, we marvel at God's glory, marvel at His power shown in the creation. We don't look at the world in the same eyes as the rest of the, as everybody else. Right? Take the time to notice as you're walking next time, to notice the flowers on the side of the road. Notice the sky, the clouds. Take time to notice when you go to the park. Don't rush through life doing all the things that we normally do and just ignoring everything that surrounds us. Slow down and notice God's creation. When we look at the night sky, the beauty of a sunset, serenity of having a picnic on King's Park, remember our God who created all things through Jesus by the power of His Spirit. But as we do that, we listen to God speak through His Word. His Word is trustworthy, right, perfect, radiant, pure, firm. They are to be desired more than gold. Because why? They revive, they refresh our souls, they rejoice our hearts. And we know God's love for us deeper and deeper each time we read God's Word. And so make a commitment this year, really, to take a deep dive into God's Word. It is the only Word in our world that has eternal value. We know of His heart, His love, His grace towards us in Christ. Through God's Word in Christ, we know we are loved, we are saved, we are redeemed. And so at the heart of both God's Word and God's Word, is the Word that became flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And as I always say, our Lord and Savior, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us. Let me pray. Father, we pray as David prayed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. And we know that it is only through Christ that we can be acceptable before your sight. We thank you for creation, its beauty and its wonder and its wisdom that shown to us your glory and your majesty. We thank you for your Word. Lord, at times we admit that it can be a chore to just open the Scriptures to read your Word. Help us, Lord, to desire to read your Word, to look deep into your Word so that we can look deep into your heart, your love, your grace towards us. And ultimately, draw us closer to Jesus Christ. Help us to be like Him, to set our hearts towards Him so that we can love Him more, follow Him ever closer, and to know His love ever deeper. And so, Father, we ask and pray that in this new year, you help us to do that by your Spirit. By your Spirit, so that we can, as a church, be a church that is marked by our obedience to your word. Not just our obedience to your word, but our love for your word. And our love for Jesus Christ, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen.